everyone. Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is definitely going to be a furry friend of ours, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful hamster. I just wanted to mention that we tried the episode dedication at the end, but honestly, I don't like it. I want to say your guys' names up off the top rather than leave it to the end. So I hope you guys don't mind the 10 to 15 second delay before we get into the show. This, of course, is a very special listener episode dedicated to Adam, Cammie, Carrie-Anne, Georgia, Jasmine, Olivia, Hazel, Alice, Hannah, Cat, and Oliver. You guys rock, and I hope you enjoy your episode. If you guys would like intro-free episodes, exclusive episodes, and more while supporting the show, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts, and you can get access to those things for less than a cup of coffee a month. One last shout-out to George Vlad, who is the reason why we have the ambiances on the show. I have linked his audio work in the description, and I encourage you guys to go check him out. Now let us begin to wind down a little bit. If you are a new listener, I welcome you with open arms to our animal podcast family, and if you are returning, you know what I'm going to be asking of you. I have three primary exhortations for you. The first is that you put on a pair of running shoes that you like. We are certainly going to be needing those for where we are going today. And my second encouragement to you is to realize perhaps where you are carrying some tension. If you don't know, you can start in your mind, scanning from the bottom of your feet all the way to the top of the head, kind of relaxing as you go. Here on the Relax with Animal Facts podcast, we like to become jello. You can imagine some jello in your mind, any flavor you like, and just do your best to imitate it. And my last exhortation to you is to give your mind permission to wander and to journey with me into an agricultural field in Europe where the hamster resides. There are over 20 species of hamster. In fact, some sources are so specific as to say 24 species of hamster. And there is a great amount of variation in between them. Hamsters belong to the same family in which we find voles, rats, mice, and lemmings. It is found in the same order as the guinea pig, but they are quite distinct from one another. And we will have our fun covering each and every one of those hamster species in the future, but I just wanted to do an umbrella episode that talks generally about all of them. But as many of you know, hamsters are pretty popular as pets. The Syrian hamster is a popular one, Campbell's dwarf hamster, winter white dwarf hamster, and the Roborovsky hamster. I think all it takes is one glance at them to want to keep them as a pet, and we'll get into that a little bit later in the episode. These are mammals that are covered in an adorable fur that have oversized pouches for cheeks and short little tails. Among the over 20 hamster species, some live in deserts and plains, some in fields like we are in today, some in Europe, some in Asia, and some even in northern Africa. They create an amazing burrow system, similar to that of many other rodents. Their scientific name is Cricetinae, which comes from Latin and previously from Greek. The word Cricetus in Latin means hamster, and so their scientific name doesn't seem to have that much to go off of. But luckily for us, this is quite an ordinary species for most of you. But long-term listeners of the show know that when anything is ordinary, it is actually hiding underneath wonderful secrets that we just never knew. and I'm sure that is the same for the hamster. In the wild, hamsters live between 2 to 3 years of age, and in captivity slightly longer, from about 2 to 4. The species of hamster vary not only in size, but also in color. Some can be yellow, red, brown, white, or a whole mixture, and people have made pets of many of them. An important aspect of hamster life is that they, like many other rodents, are nocturnal. If you were a hamster, you would also choose to maybe hide out during the waking times of snakes, foxes, badgers, eagles, and other carnivores. And so choosing an environment in which it is a little bit less easy to see, and at which some carnivores do not hunt, is a big advantage for the hamster. They dig deep tunnels into the ground, allowing for multiple entrances, kind of like a main entrance and a fire exit, and maybe even more. Many of these wild hamsters are solitary and will spend a majority of their time within that intricate tunnel system they have built. And while they are cute and fluffy, if there is any sign of an intruder or a rival hamster, they will exercise no mercy. They can be extremely territorial. The diet of the hamster mostly consists of fruits and vegetables, nuts, cracked corn, seeds, and grains. But some wild hamsters also eat frogs, lizards, and insects. There is a particular percentage of protein to fat that those that are keeping a hamster ought to be aware of. It's about 16% protein and 5% fat. And that is according to Canadian Federation of Human Societies. I would listen to them considering that, as a Canadian, I understand there is not much to do here except study moose and hamsters. The hamsters, however, don't eat all of their food right away. They are like little furry picnic baskets because with those puffy cheeks, they're able to store a ton of food. Hamsters can store 20% of their body weight in their cheeks. Now that number can be a little deceiving given how small the hamster looks, but let us say that a 160-pound human being wanted to store 20% of their weight in their cheeks, stuffing it with potatoes and with bread. It would be like a 160-pound person walking around with 32 pounds worth of food in their mouth. Now, I have watched some competitive eaters. I have not seen anyone put down 32 pounds of food, much less in their cheeks alone. And so the hamster has a one-up on us here. Those pouches they have for cheeks are also referred to as diplostomes, and in addition to storing food, mother hamsters can carry their young within their cheeks as well. And this is an important survival mechanism. If they fill their cheeks with as much as they can, it minimizes the amount of time that they spend out in the wild. And this is a world filled with eagles and foxes and a lot of things that one can't account for. And so being out less for the hamster and spending more time in those intricate burrows is a way in which they survive. And the last purpose for those big cheeks is their ability to be turned into a buoy. They can fill up their own cheeks with air so that they float. Again, something that I wish we could do. Due to their life in their intricate tunnel system, they have to be able to move quickly both forwards and backwards. And unlike a vast many species, hamsters can actually match their forward sprinting speed with their backwards speed. I cannot think of an animal that can sprint backwards as fast as forwards. Maybe I'll think of one that we covered, but I don't know if we have. An interesting fact is that when hamsters are born, they are totally blind. While their eyesight will develop as they grow, it won't be improved all that much, at least relative to many other animals. And they will never grow into being able to see color. They are colorblind. Just like many other burrowers, the hamster is going to have to rely much on their nose and on their whiskers. and the sensitivity of both of these make their poor eyesight less of a problem. Now, to offset that poor eyesight, they also have scent glands on their backs. These scent glands give off a very distinct smell that allows them to find their way around and find their way back to their tunnels. It is worth mentioning, though, that they actually have better night vision than we do, but when faced with bright light, they will be almost completely blind. It would make sense for their night vision to be a little better than ours, given that they spend a lot of their time in darkness. And these creatures are pretty intelligent. In some studies, hamsters were shown to have a visual memory, which would indicate a good spatial intelligence. This comes in handy, of course, when they are foraging for food. The teeth of the hamster is alike to all rodents we have covered on the show thus far. They have incisor teeth that have no roots, and they simply don't stop growing. The reason it is important for them to gnaw all the time is to keep their teeth sharp and preventing them from growing too much. And one really cool medical or research-related thing is that researchers discovered their teeth actually have active stem cells in them, something very important for cell regrowth. And so this fact gives scientists some hope of one day being able to emulate this tooth regeneration process, but in us. So if somebody loses their teeth, they can just grow them back. But I am sure that is quite a ways away. Some species of hamster go into that state of torpor that we learned about before. It is a sort of hibernation. The Syrian hamster, also called the golden hamster, will go into their burrow and block the entrances with soil. From there, they will enter that state, only exiting it to eat food once a week. Their heart will go from a whopping 400 beats per minute to just 4 beats per minute, taking only 2 short breaths a minute. Just so we can see how amazing this is, maybe we can put it relative to our heart rates. An average heart rate would be something like 70 beats per minute for humans. So the hamster's heart rate is on average a little less than 6 times our average. But when they enter into this state, they go to a heart rate that is unachievable by humans. Some of the lowest heart rates in the whole world are observable in people like cyclists and high-trained athletes. One cyclist, for example, had a resting heart rate of 28 beats per minute. What an incredible mechanism that helps the hamster survive those tougher times. But remember, this is not all hamsters. This particular fact was pertaining to the golden or Syrian hamster. One thing that is important for us to cover, but a little gross, is that hamsters eat their own poop. They have earned the distinction of coprophagic, basically meaning they will eat their own poop in order to make sure they don't miss out on any nutrients. This would be less important in a domestic environment in which there is some surety of food from the owner's part, but they don't have this in the wild, and so they do this to assure themselves a greater chance of survival. Now, in general, hamsters are ideal house pets for many. They are pretty easy to take care of and gentle, but in times of stress or if they are scared, they will give off a little nibble, maybe more like a bite. They will also bite if they are suddenly awoken from their sleeping time, which, if we remember, is actually during the day. They are nocturnal, and so they are awake typically when we are asleep. Of course, with all other pets, it's important to do your research and figure out if it's the right pet for your home and if you will be able to take care of it. I have known people with hamsters, and they are pretty cute. And let us go to the name of the episode, hamster. Where does it come from, or what does it mean? We have been using this word since about 1600, and it comes from a German and then a High German word. One journal says that the name hamster that we use comes from the German word hamstern, which basically means to hoard. Given that they love to store food both in their cheeks and in their tunnels, this would make sense. But Etymonline instead goes a little bit further back from the German, perhaps from an old church Slavonic, which would make sense as the animal is native to southeastern Europe, and this perhaps coming from a blend of Russian and Lithuanian, one word meaning hamster and one meaning ground squirrel. But before we called them hamsters, the older English name for the hamster was German rat, so that is pretty cool. And now time for the infamous dad joke portion of the episode. This one is going to hurt, I know it. Why did the hamster quit his job? Because he wasn't happy with the salary. Now, after saying that out loud, it did cross my mind that I should probably just edit this out and do a new one, but I'm not going to do that. And now let's move on to the review of the episode. This one is coming from name that's hard to pronounce. That's not me being mean, that is somebody's actual username on Apple Podcasts. And name, for short, is writing all the way from the United States of America. As a local animal nerd and stressed out college student, a relaxing podcast about animals is such a lifesaver. I could easily just play it and get lost picturing all of the animal facts. The host, Steph Wolf, is incredibly sincere and nice, and his voice is really wonderful for the podcast. Definitely recommend it. My one gripe might be that sometimes there are some inaccuracies, such as how in the guinea pig episode, Steph mentioned that guinea pigs and hamsters are in the same family, when in reality, they're in different families. They are in the same order, but it's nothing too major that I would ever get bothered by. Either way, keep at it, Steph, and maybe cover some sea life? Thank you, Name, for the wonderful review. I'm so happy that the show gets you through some of those tougher college classes. As a fellow student, I sympathize with you. And the mistake that I made in regards to the guinea pig and hamster being in the same family, so if I said that in that episode, that is definitely wrong. They are in the same order, which includes all rodents, but not the same family. If I ever get anything wrong, guys, feel free to write in and fact check me. It can help me be more precise in the future, so thank you, Name. If the show helps you at all, leaving a review is one of the quickest and biggest things you can do to give back to the show. I also encourage you to follow the show if you don't already, or subscribe to it, or whatever is on that podcast app. It helps the show in so many ways. If you would like to request an animal for the show, you can do so by going to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and clicking on the Submit and Animal Request tabs. To reach out to me, Steph Wolf, for any other reason, you can do so by sending an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com or by going to the Instagram relaxwithanimalfacts and sending a message there. For more episodes, including mythical animals, extinct animals, those things are all on patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts. You can do a free trial for $1 a month, but if you don't like it, you can cancel at any time. A big shout out to George Vlad for the ambiances used in this episode. His YouTube is in the description and you should check him out. The resources used in this episode came from treehugger.com, livescience.com, atozanimals.com, and etymonline.com. What an amazing animal we have learned about today. Again, one that is quite common to us, but one also that holds many little idiosyncrasies that make it special. Try carrying 20% of your body weight in your cheeks. I should rephrase that. Don't put 20% of your body weight in your cheeks. It is a bad idea, but for the hamster, it is lightweight, and so big respect to the hamster. Thank you for taking the time to join me on this adventure, and I look forward to our next one together with the next episode with the next animal. Take care.